Tom, you ask us to tell you our thoughts or our knowing? Tom, we understand not why humankind make complications out of simple information. The Earth Mother of the Nazarene was implanted by Jehovah, in what you term. You do it in your planet without physicalness. John, yes, artificial insemination. Tom, yes, Jesus was the firstborn. He is Jehovah, that the nation of Israel calls Jehovah. After his birth, then Mary and Joseph had 7 other male and 3 female. The Nazarene's physical brother and sister siblings were not implanted. You asked if the Nazarene experienced the physical glory? Guest, we were talking about the genetic influence of the Hovids, and we identified the first 2 genetic implants of the Hovids, and we wondered whether the Nazarene represented the 3rd? Tom, he was like that, but that does not mean he offspring children. David, so he had no offspring? Tom, you make your world complicated. He was a representative of Jehovah. In the genetic stream of Jehovah, there existed beings of Jehovah on planet Earth. What the Nazarene did was to reawaken the coding of memory within. He was a man upon planet Earth, and as with nearly all men upon planet Earth, went through a sexual development, as do females, which comes from the source of soul within. For in the moment of sexual exchange, it is the one moment in your physical life when you attain the oneness of your Creator. It is that time and moment which is sought. This is part of the difficulty upon planet Earth, for humankind has misunderstood the purpose of sex, and in searching for the returning to the Creator, has debased it. And because the founders of religion knew the truth of this returning, and did not wish the masses to attain it also, they forbade it, and thereby made it dominant. Part of the difficulty of male humankind moving from one woman to another in endlessness stems from the misunderstanding and non-development of true exchange, and the purpose of this exchange. It was necessary for the Nazarene to experience that with the Magdalene. In the exchange with the Magdalene he was able to maintain his true identity with the Creator. Is that understood? When both partners whose motive is clean, we do not wish to preach dash who understand who they are, and their oneness with their mate, and have attained the bringing of 2 together in unison and great glory, this then brings great joy. If you experience this, remember, do not let it pass, for it is catching a star, riding a star. Remember that, for it will always bring you back to the returning of your creation. Know also that you are part of the Creator, and that you also created the Creator. Harriet, that's beautiful. John, so, what you're saying is that Mary Magdalene did not have a child. Tom, not from the Nazarene. Guest, did Jesus, perhaps in connection with Joseph of Arimathea, according to tradition, ever visit Glastonbury in England? Tom, the Nazarene circled planet Earth, where it was of necessity for his energy to permeate the globalness. David, was that a specific yes to Glastonbury? One of the locations he passed through? Tom, do you need a map to understand energies? What you term special or sacred or holy, from all beliefs, was touched. And in your Kingston in England also. Guest, so the tradition which exists in Glastonbury that Jesus visited as a boy with Joseph of Arimathea, is that a correct tradition? Tom, yes, I just explained he traveled around the globe. John, you are referring to the lost years of the Nazarene, between the age of 12, when he was at the temple in Jerusalem, until his ministry began. Can you tell us about that? Tom, at the age of 14, and within a year of his manhood, he began a long journey. He went into the area of the Himalayas and he spent a great deal of time in Egypt, viewing the pyramids, learning about the energies and knowledge of the pyramids. He also spent a long time in the lands of the Himalayas. He had also spent much time with the Essenes. He took within him the triangle of knowledge of India, Egypt and the Essenes. He had the assimilation and the truth of all 3. John the Baptist also spent time with him in Egypt. John, yes. Will any records of this be discovered? Tom, there are records in 2 of these areas, one in Egypt, and the other in what is now Israel. At the proper time there will be a correlation of finding these records within 6 months of each other. There will be fragments, and there will then emerge truth. David, is it true that the Nazarene traveled and learned in the Far East? Tom, there was a time of travel, including to the nation that you know of as the nation of the sun, Japan. Israel. We know that the Nazarene, Yehovah, came three times. One of these was the Buddha. Could you explain to me the necessity of that incarnation and in that environment, India? What was its purpose? Tom, your nation did not go forth as they should. Therefore it was of necessity for one to come who would cover a great portion of the earth with the heart of understanding of the universe. It is in alignment with the progress of the universe. In actuality, those of the Buddha's following have grasped truth into their soul and heart quicker than those who should have, the heroes. Do you understand? Israel, yes. If it doesn't work from the inside, try to make it work from the outside. Tom, that is correct, yes. Andrew, what was the original language in which John wrote down the book of Revelations? You said that the original is the one to read and that the translations have problems. Tom, it was in Aramaic. Andrew, do you know if any such manuscript exists? Tom, yes, but not in an area or place where you may recover it. It will come in time. It is in the city of Jerusalem, and it will be found? Andrew, I see. There is not a copy in any museum or anywhere where it is publicly viewable? Tom, you may go to your Vatican. Andrew, could you give us the story of how John received this message? Was it in a situation like we are sitting in here, or was he alone, or was it before the baptism of Jesus? Tom, it was before the baptism. It was the revelations that brought the understanding of who Jesus was. Andrew, was Jesus a witness to this revelation? Tom, yes. He was a young boy. It came as we speak to you. Do you understand? Andrew, yes, I understand. Right, that's remarkable. John, can you say something about original sin and the act of baptism, and whether the importance of these continue today? Does the concept of original sin bring us into this world with guilt? Tom, in the beginning, when the covenant was made with Huva and it was broken, original sin followed the Hebrew seed. When Huva came again as the Nazarene, it was released completely. For his sacrifice was complete release. But those that followed after the Nazarene perpetrated many things in his name, began a set of rituals, as previous to the time of Huva. Do you understand? John, well, in the Christian service we consider that Christ and his death did forgive us our sins and presumed that inferred the original sin. Tom, he did not forgive you. The universe relieved you. John, yes, but symbolized by his act. Tom, yes. If there had been acceptance, the guilt of original sin would also have been relieved. It was the time. John, but the baptism today is still to relieve us of original sin. Tom, it is not to relieve that. In each church is a different way. In a religion that was not begun by the Nazarene. Baptism is not to remove original sin, it is to indicate acceptance of the Nazarene. In the beginning it was Peter who started this, following the pattern of John the Baptist. John, there is a belief that the crucifixion of Christ took away the sins people committed since his death. In other words, Christ forgave sins afterwards. I feel this is an avoidance of responsibility. Could you clarify this at all? Tom, you are asking whether if they ask in his name, they are forgiven? John, people feel that by his crucifixion they have already been forgiven of their sins. In other words, it seems to me a license to sin, which doesn't seem right to me. Tom, that is not the purpose. The crucifixion of the Nazarene was not to relieve people of the burden of their own responsibilities. It was to show everyone that for the love of God and for his commitment he would willingly die. Remember that the Nazarene did not attempt to communicate with the Gentiles, only to those of the Hebrew nation of Palestine. If he could have relieved them and made them aware, he would have shown them, and in turn the rest of the planet, the way to individual and global transformation. Within the nations that you call Christian and who worship him as a God, there are those that understand that he is of a Trinity. John, was Jesus the first person ever to be resurrected? Tom, It is true that he was the first to be resurrected, but not in the sense that you understand. He was the first that was returned to his civilization, Huva, in the manner in which he was returned. There have been many who have been resurrected, but he has been returned to his civilization. The people upon the planet Earth who saw his resurrection believed that it made him God. Andrew, so, with reference to people who came from one of the universal civilizations, and then went back, you mean to say that Jesus or Jehovah was the first who was brought here, and then returned physically intact? And this was not done earlier? Tom, yes. There were what you would call resurrections and returning to spheres but not returning to civilizations. Andrew, is this really what we would call teleportation or biolocation or? Tom, it would be biolocation. It was the first time it had been done. John, is the one who took the body of Jesus, Joseph of Arimathea, the same person as Joseph, the head of the civilization Aragon? Tom, it is two different ones. Andrew, we are really wondering whether Joseph of Aragon was with a Nazarene on Earth? Tom, he was with the hawk, Horus, in Egypt. He was the one that is called Imhotep. He was also a high priest in the time of the Nazarene called Annas. John, was Joseph of Arimathea also from Aragon by any chance? Tom, I will consult. Joseph of Aragon has said no, that Joseph of Arimathea was from Walda. It is only a similarity of names. Steve, we usually think of the Eastern methods of attaining enlightenment, the Hindu and Buddhist, as far more advanced than the Western methods. Is this so? Tom, to be removed from the world is not the best. All may reach the highest of heights within themselves, but how would they react if they must reach the heights when there are those that need their service and their help? To escape the responsibility of involvement, it is true you may believe that you have become a master or a perfect being, or if you do not interact with others, then you will indeed think that you are perfect. Steve. Well, I'm thinking of the Eastern sacred books, the Upanishads and the Vedas, the Sutras and Tao. Are these given from other civilizations? Tom, it is so, as with others, yes. But it has not been used always for betterment. If the Eastern philosophers had the truth of their fellow men within their heart, their nations would be highly evolved. But they use it at times to make themselves masters, without uplifting the souls that need help. It is important that those who have understanding of suffering attempt to relieve suffering. Steve. I would like to explain why I asked that question. It seems that all our communications are very much within the Western philosophical and religious tradition, and emanate from the same sources that Western civilization and religion emanate from. And this is one thing that I have to struggle with, because I have grown up to think that the Eastern methods and religions are more enlightened. Tom, how many millions of their people are suffering? Do you understand what we say? That also is a trap. John, yes, I think we see the faults in our own culture, and we look across the fence and think that they have the answer. But, yes Tom, if you sit upon a mountain and look below you, and say I am enlightened, where I sit and I pray, and those that are below me, it is important for them to suffer and I cannot do anything to help, then you have set yourself above them. We will use your term of karma. It is not fully understood. In their thinking that suffering is their karma, they in truth have created suffering karma for themselves. Do not be involved with your fellow men, to simply place a hand to help them, or a publication to ease their burden. They cannot be masters as they proclaim. To have mastered all the physical, the important thing is to master all of the physical with involvement, not detachment from those that suffer. Yes. Steve. Well, just to repeat. Do such books as I have mentioned in fact emanate from extraterrestrial sources, although they may not be fully developed and highly evolved? Tom, yes. But also remember that people use that which benefits them, and they make their interpretation, in order to control others or to make themselves better than their fellow humans. Yes. John, so you're saying they have as many distortions as the Bible? Tom, as the word book? Yes. There is the most singular important thing that humankind has neglected, and we speak of nearly all humankind, and that is compassion. When there's compassion for all living things, including those that are closest to you, then the shift in consciousness of the planet begins and will be accelerating. You see, in the nature of humankind, you may have compassion for a child that falls that is yours, but not see the pain of another child that falls. You may have compassion when you see the slaughter of villagers if you are in affinity with them, but not of the slaughter of those that slaughter. It's when here are those that you love, that do not agree with you when you have need of their agreement, that you lose compassion for them. It's when you may maintain that compassion, or gain it, or regenerate it, and feel the feeling that they feel without self-involvement and you come out of the ashes and begin the growth. The building then is strong, and secure, and not fragile, but it could be burned again. Humankind has not had compassion for humankind. Even one of you, who might have compassion for a small child, has no compassion for an adult that does not agree with you. That also is changing. John, yes, on that. It's interesting that we have difficulty having compassion for the nearest and dearest to us. We have compassion for those a little further away with whom we agree, and then we lose compassion again when we go further still. It's this middle ground. Tom, yes. When you are able to remove self from self, and place yourself in the position of another, then begins the evolution of the planet. Then this planet begins being the paradise that it was planned to be. Yes. Express yourself in words of love and words of joy, and that makes the universe in happiness. For when there is happiness, joy and laughter in the universe, it is a time of great celebration. This is what planet Earth must do. Humankind must not take itself so seriously. It must begin to experience within itself the joy of its divinity, the joy of its oneness with the universe. It must pull itself out of this bondage. It must stop living in a situation of victims. We have never asked for victims or sacrifice, but humankind in its guilt creates its victimhood. For it knows that it has passed and has crossed that valley that it should not have, and now together with all we are bringing it back across the valley, for it to be one with the universe. This next transmission was concerned with other communications and their validity. Andrew, I want to ask about physical communication. Could you give us an idea as to who in the past, historically recognizable figures, were what you would call perfect communicators? As you say, this being is. Could you tell us of any that we can rely on? Tom, I will consult for permission. There was the one you call Jesus of Nazareth, you knew that. There was the one that you call Socrates. There was the one that gave to you in code, Nostradamus. There was the one that was of one and the same as that of Jesus, the Buddha. Remember this, there was perfect communication and it was in translation that it became obscure. And all the translations. Andrew, in all of these cases, I see, right. Tom, then there was Elijah, and there was the one called Joseph. Andrew, which Joseph was that? There are several in the Bible. Tom, it would be the one that was in Egypt. And there was one whose name was Da Vinci. We speak to you only of those that have been recorded historically. There have been others. Andrew, a more recent figure like Helen Blavatsky, would she qualify? Tom, I must consult. Yes, Blavatsky was true. Andrew, are there any who have lived in the past 100 years who were scientists who recorded knowledge that is true? Tom, that knowledge comes from a civilization. Andrew, I see, you are talking about those directly speaking with you? Tom, yes. John, may I ask about the theosophists? I assume that the person who spoke through Blavatsky and Alice Bailey was the same person, known to us as the Tibetan, Tchulkul. Tom, that is not true. John, could you tell us who the Tibetan is then? Tom, we are trying to find a way of explaining. If you have three people who together create a triangle, and if the three merge in mind, you would have a oneness. The Tibetan is a triangle. John, does he have a direct relationship to the nine? Tom, it is as if, we know not how to explain, it is incomprehensible in your language. It is not a physical being. The information comes from a triangle. John, is it of a high quality? Tom, yes. It is taking from three. the perfect aspects of the three. Do you understand that? John, yes, I do. Tom, the Tibetan was different to Blavatsky. Andrew, I've recently looked again at the writings of Michel de Nostradamus, and I've been very impressed how his predictions made 400 years ago are parallel to the ones that you have made about what is coming. Who was this Michel de Nostradamus that he was so prescient way back when? And were you behind his foreknowledge? Tom, when there was prediction, people took it as a definite reason to be out of their responsibility. It was an error that we made also, for humans hold destiny in their hands. What was not understood by humankind was that prediction was made to have man change his way. If he did not change, then the prediction would come into being. We cannot reiterate that point enough. We wish that to be impressed upon humankind's mind, for it is the beginning of humankind's understanding that they hold the key, they are responsible, and they make the change. You ask who he was? He was doing the same as you are doing at this time. We now wish for light to come forth, for the removal of darkness, for the removal of humanity's belief that darkness must take place. For there are two alternatives. The ones of darkness have existed too long, it is time for those of light, and that is your choosing. Humankind does not need despair, hopelessness, or futility, but hope, love, and the possibility of goodness. Here is an exploration of principles which can contribute another thread to the tapestry of our understanding. John, could you say whether in fact there are 12 principles that have come in, and if the final one is balanced? Is that correct? Tom, I will consult for permission. It is affirmative but with reservations. John, yes. Well, could you mention some of the other principles and the times at which they came? That might help me to understand principles that came in at different times. Tom, in the time between the father of Abraham and Moses, and spanning the time of Jacob, was the principle of law. When we speak of law, we speak of the following of the law of the nine. That does not mean that the law that was given had the necessity of being adhered to, from that point until what you would call eternity. But it was important for that time. In the true sense, natural law does not change, but law for order in the universe in relationship to a singular planet is adaptable to change. When we speak of law in that time, we speak of a law that those that we had asked, as we had asked Abraham, Jacob and Moses, do what we had asked, in faith. It was a form of law. John, yes, I feel that there is something important behind these principles. I feel they're associated with the 12, that is the 9 plus 3, and the 9. Are these periods regular in length, or do they vary? Am I on the right track? Tom, we understand what you are getting at. Again, we answer with an affirmative but also with reservations. For there have been times that are in closeness to other times of great distance. John, I don't quite. Tom, there are those times which have great expansions, and then there are those times which are short periods. John, yes. Has there been another one between the time of Christ and now? Tom, that of Christ was the final before you today. The period at the time of Alter was of wisdom. The principle of justice came at the time of Ur. The time of Horus in Egypt was of knowledge, and knowledge also became out of balance. Yes. 5. The other side of the coin. 16. War and peace in the 1990s. While, in 1994, it would seem a little out of date to leave these early transmissions concerning the imminent threat of nuclear catastrophe in this edition of the book, the replies given by Tom are still totally relevant. Where they deal with the power of thought, the power of fear. The transmissions have been arranged in chronological order. The first discussions, during 1981, occurred at a time when there was a proliferation of nuclear warheads. Guest, what about nuclear war? It seems that this present state of affairs, 1981, is dangerous, and the risks are rising. Tom, we have always said that we would not permit the destruction of this planet. We would not permit this planet to be destroyed in stupidity. But you understand that when destruction attempts are made, they create other forms that can then encourage more scattered energies. This is why meditation is important. Andrew, yes, If I understand correctly then, let me paraphrase what I understand you have said on other occasions. You are not in principle against humanity learning a lesson from a small series of nuclear events. Is that correct? Tom, we did not mean it in that interpretation. Andrew, I'm sorry. Will you clarify? Tom, we intended for you to understand that in the situation as it is going, if there were a small confrontation, it would perhaps be a sufficient lesson in another world and another time, but in this time and space there is only foolishness, so that would not suffice. If a lesson could be learned without harming humankind, but that is not possible. Andrew, I see what you're saying. It's what we call a Mexican standoff, isn't it? Tom, that means that each side is prepared, and each is afraid, through not knowing strength of the other? Andrew, yes. Tom, yes. That is your situation. But if it is possible to overcome this, and for East and West to merge in understanding of peoples, to remove fear, then many things will come to pass. Andrew, yes, we understand that. But isn't that a long-term process? We're talking about the transformation of very fixed minds. Tom, know this. That elements of the nature of energies may spread with great rapidity. As you have a media, a form of communication, of necessity it would only be a matter of days or weeks in transformation, if the energies charged into it were the highest. Know this. Your planet Earth is on the verge of transformation. Guest, what are you calling a short period of time? Tom, as a radio wave goes around your planet Earth, encircles it, or televises it from above your planet Earth, with proper communication the majority of civilized countries could come to understanding in 3 of your months. John, in the event of a nuclear strike, would you consider intervening on television and radio as was considered once before? Would that be one of your means of intervention? Tom, I will consult, yes, in some areas, but in the main it would come from an energy of a sound that you hear not, that would cause paralysis of mechanisms for a period of time. John, so, what might happen is that missiles might be fired but they might fail to operate, and that would be a very powerful indication to all people that something extraterrestrial was controlling the situation. Is that so? Tom, there would be a sound that would negate it, and the vibration would be felt by all, but not heard as sound. John, who would initiate this? Tom, those of the 24 civilizations. John, is Alta still in charge of this operation? Tom, that of Alta? Yes. John, there is a paradox that is going on in the peace movement. I'm suggesting that we should not be fearful of the Russians, but the peace movement is largely based on the fear of nuclear war, and I think the fear has a negative effect. Tom, the fear will bring into existence that which is feared. John, how can we deal with this paradox, as peace campaigners are saying that we need to be frightened, because it's out of this fear that we will get people to do something? Tom, you need to be aware, fear accomplishes nothing but destruction. Fear is the greatest enemy of all that exists on planet Earth. Fear is bondage. Fear is not freedom. John, you are, I presume, talking about a cataclysm being nuclear war, because there exists so much fear of it at the moment? Tom, yes. John, can you give any advice on how to persuade people that they need to be aware of the situation and act on it, without being motivated by fear? Tom, they must not be pulled into the blueprint of someone else's situation. It is like a magnet. Suddenly all the filings have pulled towards each other and created a magnetic force field. Andrew, if it is mandatory that we survive, what will our work be afterwards, assuming that you will not allow total destruction, while there may be some minor destruction as a lesson? Tom, we would pray that even the smallest shred may not be the case. Andrew, okay. Tom, the importance is to inform others that energies of thought forms are more devastating than nuclear warheads, for in your time now, in your future time, energies are being refined, for which thought is, and will be, the controlling factor. Andrew, yes. Now, may I ask if in the course of evolution of human life on Earth, man has ever had this kind of technological possibility and capacity for total destruction? Tom, no, It was localized. There have been shifts of crust upon your planet Earth. But that was not brought about by chaos of nuclear.